It came as a shock when Hitler's war machine of up to 3.5 million troops, supported by aircraft and some 3,000 tanks, pushed across the 3,000-kilometer Soviet border from Finland in the north to the Black Sea in the south on the 22nd of June 1941 and surged forwards. Joseph Stalin may have known the invasion was coming, but he'd hoped the 1939 non-aggression pact with Hitler would hold a little longer, at least until the Soviet Union was better equipped to defend itself. The exhausted Soviet soldiers therefore became cannon fodder, and the inhabitants of the Soviet Union were left bewildered by the fact that the two allies had gone from living in what amounted to a marriage of convenience to becoming mortal enemies overnight. It wasn't just the Soviets who were horrified. In London, the British government feared the consequences of the Nazi attack on the East. The Soviet economy was already strained. Vast agricultural areas had been occupied, the population was starving, and the Red Army lacked everything from food and boots to weapons, planes and tanks. Presumably, Stalin would be forced to surrender within weeks, with disastrous consequences for the course of the war. If the Soviets did capitulate, the Nazis would not only be able to transfer all their forces to the Western Front, they would also have access to vast quantities of raw materials that could make the Third Reich virtually invincible. "We have only to kick in the door and the whole rotten structure will come crashing down," Hitler had proclaimed of the Soviet superpower. With Führer Directive No. 21, Operation Barbarossa, of 18th December 1940, the Nazis had begun preparations to crush Soviet Russia in a quick campaign. The Nazi leaders had optimistically reckoned it would take 6 weeks to overrun the Soviet Union and defeat the Red Army. In one fell swoop, Hitler would wipe out communism and destroy the last obstacle standing between him and his total domination of Europe. Now the day had come when deafening thunder from German guns shattered the peace in the Soviet Union. In the soft moonlight, at 3:15, Nazi forces had begun to storm swiftly and devastatingly across the border in the largest military operation in history. Screeching machine gun salvos spread death. In the sky, German bombers swarmed, raining their cargo of bombs over the unprepared Soviet forces. Churchill promised to help Stalin. Without hesitation, on the day of the invasion, Prime Minister Winston Churchill reached out to the Soviets and, in a radio address on the BBC, offered all the help the British could muster. Churchill had hitherto been one of the communists' fiercest opponents, but in the face of the German offensive, old grudges had to be forgotten. Following the thinking that one's enemies are one's friends, the Prime Minister promised immediate assistance to Stalin and the Soviet people. "No one has been a more consistent opponent of communism than I have for the last 25 years. I will unsay no word that I have spoken about it, but all this fades away before the spectacle which is now unfolded. The past, with its crimes, its follies, and its tragedies, flashes away. I see the Russian soldiers standing on the threshold of their native land, guarding the fields which their fathers have tilled from time immemorial. But now I have to declare the decision of His Majesty's government. We must speak out now, at once, without a day's delay. Any man or state who fights against Nazism will have our aid. Any man or state who marches with Hitler is our foe. That is our policy, and that is our declaration. It follows, therefore, that we shall give whatever help we can to Russia and the Russian people. We shall appeal to all our friends and allies in every part of the world to take the same course and pursue it as we shall, faithfully and steadfastly to the end," the Prime Minister guaranteed. In a memorandum to the Admiralty in London, Winston Churchill explained the rationale for helping. "The advantage we should reap if the Russians could keep in the field and go on with the war, at any rate until winter closes in, is measureless. As long as they go on, it does not matter so much where the front lies. We must make sacrifices and take risks to maintain their morale," Churchill stressed to the Royal Navy's top administrative brass. USA joins relief effort. Although at that point the USA wasn't involved in the war, the US government decided to back the British relief effort a few weeks after the invasion. On the 28th of July 1941, Harry Hopkins, one of President Franklin D. Roosevelt's closest advisers, flew from Britain to the Soviet port of Arkhangelsk, and from there to Moscow to meet Stalin in person. "I told Mr. Stalin that the question of aid to the Soviet Union was divided into two parts. First..."